when you hear these words, you recognize that they're the end of the story, but it's really just the beginning. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. And I think back across the span of 2011, some very faithful people who've left us to enter into their rest. Faithful people, when I look back at their lives, I realize they had a core quality of being faithful. I was 20 years old when I met this man, never dreaming that over the span of his lifetime, he would always exhibit one quality that exceeded all other qualities. It was the quality of being a faithful man. Faithful in friendship, faithful in encouragement, faithful in building up, faithful in being willing to sacrifice, faithful in every way. This past summer, he passed on into heaven. And at his service, the thing that I reflected on the most as I thought about him, as I reflect back on this year, is his faithfulness. And this fall, we lost a beautiful lady who was such a who graced our church and who was such a blessing and a sweet spirit to all of us in Diane. And I think about these people, and I think about their one quality that stood out to all of their lives, that they were faithful. You know, here's what happened to them. They made a choice. They made a choice. You know, you realize that it simply comes down to a choice of being faithful or unfaithful. And Jesus understood that. In fact, when you look at all that Jesus did in the New Testament, over and over and over again, he would tell stories. And every one of his stories would bring us back to a choice that had to be made. Even the one who was in sin, what did he say? Go and sin no more. Make that choice. And so today, we look and begin a series that I hope will be the anchor of your thought process from now until you see Jesus. Because the reality is, if you apply what we look at over the span of the next 6 or 7 weeks, you will come away with a very clear awareness, that if you are faithful, you will hear him say, well done. And the question you have to ask yourself is, if he doesn't say, well done, what does he say? Because the reality is, it may be something like this. What happened? What did you do with what it is I entrusted to you? How could you be given so much and do so little with it? So little talent that you had exhibited in accomplishing his purpose. So little commitment to accomplishing his will for your life. You see, today we come at that crossroads moment as we launch into a new focus regarding our own lives. I love what the psalmist said. He said it in the 89th Psalm, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever, and I will testify to his faithfulness to all generations. Here's what you see the psalmist saying. There's always going to be a song in me, and there's always going to be a word I'm going to share, and that is that God is faithful. So I want to ask you a question today. When you think about your own personal journey of faith, where you are, which, by the way, you're the only one who can make a clear assessment. Others can look at it, but you're the only one who can make that assessment and see where you are. I want to ask you a couple questions to think about as we embark on this journey, because it is my belief that by the time we finish this, you will understand what it means to be faithful. Because here's what happens when you are faithful. You unleash a power that is greater than anything you could ever imagine. Because the power of a faithful life is the kind of life that changes the world. Look back across the stories, all through history. Look at every story of every person who has ever made a significant difference. And here's what you'll discover. They were faithful. Faithful to what it is that God had called them to do. And even with their limitations, and even with their challenges, they stayed faithful. And so today, it's not about what limits you. It's not about what challenges you. It's about what you are willing to look into your own heart and say, yes, I will be faithful. So I want to ask you a couple questions we dig into. And today we're going to look at this place where Jesus comes to that crossroads of saying, this is a story you better not miss. Because this is a story that prepares you to anticipate what's going to happen as a result of me having to go to the cross. So we're going to listen carefully as we look at this passage just a moment in Matthew chapter 25. But as you turn there, maybe you could even ask yourself these questions. When you think about where you are, if someone described your life, what traits, what qualities would they know? In other words, would they say of you, you're consistent? Would they say of you, you're committed? Would they say of you, you're obedient? Would they say of you that you're loving? Would they say of you that you're on fire for what counts in life? Would they say of you that you miss the best of life? What qualities would they describe? What things would stand out to you that would be the defining markers of really who you are? Because the reality is, someone someday will tell your story. They will either tell the story that you were a faithful man who did exactly what God called you to do, or that you missed life. They will say of you that you were a faithful woman. You did exactly what God had called you to do. Or they will say, she missed it. She could have. She would have, but she didn't. You see, you and I need to think about that. What describes us, and listen carefully, by the time we finish today, there can be no excuses. Because here's what you're going to see Jesus do. Jesus is going to make it clear. Some have 5 talents, some have 2 talents, some have 1. What they do with it is all about how they live out their life and share their testimony. But not only do you think about your own qualities, but when you think about your own life, when you think about being faithful, what does it take to be faithful? You have to ask yourself that question, don't you? In other words, if I'm going to be faithful, what will it take? You ever had somebody in your life that was faithful at one point, then they wavered? They became inconsistent? They disconnected? They surrendered the best of life to experience something less than that? I was watching as all of the festivities all over the world were going on New Year's Eve. All over the world, I was watching people doing different things, and I was thinking about the contrast for me on New Year's Eve of 2011. I was holding, at one moment, 12 pounds. At another moment, 2 pounds. 12 pounds was a little girl that was at my house. Holding her in my arms, I was thinking about what greater way could I celebrate the dawning of a new year and to hold the future, the legacy of our family. At the other moment, I was holding this book and realizing that we live in a day where this book is the defining reality for anybody who's going to experience the best in life. In fact, I read a quote this week that really stirred me, and it caused me to even be more focused as we head into this new year. The quote was this: show me your vision, and I'll show you your future. And I want you to think about this for a moment. If you don't have a vision for where you're going with your life, where will you go? What will you do? And listen carefully. The most dangerous thing that can happen to us is to believe that our vision is from the past, the best has already gone by our way. Listen, if you're living today, you're living because God has purpose for you that is connected to a very clear vision to accomplish his purpose in this generation. That's why when you read in 126 Psalm in that first verse, it says, it talks about those who continue to follow the dream. As those who follow the dream, reminds me of some of the people who are part of who we are as a church. Keep following what God has for them. But when you think about a faithful person has 4 distinctive, clear qualities about their life. And I want to challenge you as we look at these particular qualities to think about them in your own life. The first one has to do with being committed. A faithful person is committed to the task. I look at all the new parents that we have in our church, and we got blessed at 12 a.m. on New Year's Day when Ryan and Jennifer Leo had their new little baby girl. Scarlett was born at 12 a.m. on January 1, 2012. Now, how they calculated that out to make that work is quite a scientific mystery to me. But they posted at 12 a.m. that little girl came into the world. But every one of the parents of these little ones that God has brought into our family, one of the things I love the most is I watch moms and dads who are committed. Committed. I'm watching these dads who invest in their children and love them and hang on to them. I'm watching these moms who make a difference. A person who is faithful is committed. But not only that, a person who's faithful is obedient. A person who is absolutely faithful at the core is obedient to what God has for their life. If they have the opportunity to make a difference, they go. They have the opportunity to share, they share. They have the opportunity to read, they read. They have the opportunity to meditate, they meditate. They're obedient. Next Sunday, we have the privilege of being able to be obedient and learning how to share our testimony. It's all about sharing your Christ story. And as 2012 opens up, my encouragement to think about your own life is to take a moment and say, you know what, I want to learn how to share my story more effectively. A committed person, an obedient person, a faithful. A person who is committed and obedient is also responsible. And when you think about your life, we all have responsibility to make it happen. We can't push it to the next generation. We can't shove it somebody another way. We have to stop and say, you know what, I want to be responsible. And a faithful person is energizing. A faithful person brings energy to life. They, when you're around them, they do something for you. They speak to your heart. They grab you. They motivate you. They challenge you. They energize you. They give you something that causes you to make it through whatever it is you're facing. And I think that's why when you look at Scripture, there's so many promises about God's faithfulness and our responsibility to be faithful. Think about 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the verse that I want us to look at and think about throughout the year. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also bring it to pass. Aren't you glad that there is a God who is faithful, who absolutely carries you forward in that faithful life? When I think about that, I think about how important it is that we look at our own lives and ask ourselves the question, at the core of who we are we faithful? Because he is faithful to call us to the task. Also, when you look at Scripture, you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and it's here where Paul said, he considered me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Why would that statement have such profound impact? Because there was a time when Paul was unfaithful. There was a time when Paul was not connected to God's purpose, not surrendered to his will, not obedient to a call, not committed to a task. And what happened? God enveloped his life on Damascus Road, and all of a sudden, he got called, considered to be faithful. And then we think of one other scripture that stands out to me, and it has to do in the Psalm, the 100th Psalm, verse 5, where it says, "For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." What a great promise for each one of us. So today I want us to think about something. I want us to find ourselves with Jesus headed towards a cross. When he's headed towards a cross, he realizes that every moment counts. Everything that he says has meaning. Every moment that he has a chance to influence those who he loves is going to make a difference in life. And I want you to think about today as we turn to Matthew 25. Here's a story beginning in verse 14 where Jesus begins to tell the story that has dramatic significance to all those who are listening. Because here's what you see in the 25th chapter of Matthew. It is here that Jesus brings together two distinctive, clear qualities that have to be a part of our lives if we're faithful. The first one is anticipation, and the second one is preparation. And here's what you see in this. Jesus begins to tell stories, and he wants them to anticipate how their lives will unfold, but he also wants to prepare them for ultimately what will transpire. And as you look at these parables, he's always telling these stories because he wants people to see how life works, what gives it meaning, what gives it purpose. So let's begin reading, if we could, in verse 14. And we read the story with the parable of talents. Remember, watch this. Jesus is about to be betrayed. Jesus is about to take the last communion. Jesus is about to go to the cross. And so he's not wasting any words talking about things that are not significant. And listen to me carefully. This year in which we live is not a year to focus on what is insignificant. This is a year to focus on what is absolutely critical to our lives, to our journey. So begin reading, if we could, with me in verse 14. "For it is just like a man who about to go on a journey who calls his own slaves and entrusts his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. On my arrival, you would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." When you read this, you see something very clearly, don't you? Jesus puts a dividing line between faithfulness and unfaithfulness, doing what they're called to do and missing what they're called to do. And when you look at this particular parable, it's amazing because what he does is he takes three different people and distinguishes how they live out their lives, their responsibility they have. When you look at a talent, it would have been, in by way of value, about 20 years worth of income. So for a person who had five talents, he was given 100 years worth of income to be responsible for. For the person who had two talents, it was 40 years worth of income that he had responsibility for. And one who had one, it was just 20 years. But for each one of them, they were given the opportunity to prove and to act out and live out their faithfulness, to work at what God had called them to do. And when you see Jesus illustrating here, what he's trying to do is show us some very vital lessons that are very important for us as we think about this new year. Because what I want to challenge you to think about regarding where you are in your life, at the end of your story, people will say of you either faithful or unfaithful. There won't be anything in between. And what Jesus is trying to say here is you don't want to be the person with one talent. Because what you're seeing here is they really don't know Jesus. They just act like it. And what Jesus is saying here is those who are part of my family, they better be willing to take whatever it is I entrusted them and do something with it. So let's look at this passage and look at how it works. You'll notice in verse 15, he says, "To the one he gave five talents, another two, and to another one." And what we see here, first of all, is we are entrusted with talents. Now, not just monetary talents, we're also entrusted with giftedness and skills and capacity. And what you discover here is that Jesus illustrates that for some, they're going to be given a lot, and they're going to have a lot of responsibility with it. For others, are going to be given more. For others, just a little bit. But every person has responsibility to deal with what it is that's been entrusted to them. So if someone were to take your checkbook register and look at it over the last year, what would they see in that register? Would they see Georgia Power, Comcast, Gwinnett Water? Would they see One Heart Church? Or would they see Visa, American Express? What would they see? You see, the reality is that you and I are living out a testimony. It's either a testimony of faithfulness or a testimony where we miss it. And I want to challenge you to think about your own life and realize God has entrusted talent to you. You cannot squander it. You must not squander it. You must not look back at your life and go, "I could have. I wanted too bad. But somebody told me when I was younger that I could never do this. Someone told me that I didn't have that capacity." Listen, the guy who writes our devotionals that you get every week for most weeks, if he had listened to somebody who talked to him when he was young, he would have never written a single word. But he didn't listen to the wrong voice. He listened to the right voice. And because of that, sometimes he captures the essence of everything that I say. And it's real interesting because for this gentleman, I know whether he's really listening or not on any given Sunday. Because sometimes when I read his devotional, I realize he took a nap during the devotional or during the message, because I can tell that he's not with me. And when I read it, I want to go, "Wake up. I caught you sleeping." Other times, it's very powerful. It has very significant meaning. And by the way, if you don't get those devotionals, you don't get emails from us, before you leave the church today, take one of those cards that's in the chair in front of you, put your name on there, put your email address on there, put your information, and we'll make sure you get communication about what things are happening. But see, here's what you discover. Every person has talents, and they're not limited. Listen, they're not limited by somebody else. They're empowered by God. And what Jesus does here, he says, everybody has them. In fact, when you look at this, here's what you discover. Each of us is given the opportunity. We're all given the opportunity to use our skills to make a difference. We just have to be willing to seize that opportunity. We have to be willing to go that extra mile, to do the extra effort, to give that extra love, to care for someone. Yesterday, my wife and Abby joined me. We went to Cracker Barrel for a meal, and it was packed out with all kinds of people in there. And I got to watching this young man who was bussing all the tables. I mean, he was clearing those tables, and people were coming in and out. And I walked all the way to the cash register. Then I turned back around. I took some money out of my pocket, and I went to where he was cleaning a table. And I put money in his pocket, and I said, "Happy New Year to you." He looked at me, and you could tell that it was a moment for him to realize this could be a good year where people can honor your life and bless you. My daughter, my youngest daughter, works at she delivers pizza for Papa John's Pizza. And it's an intriguing employment for a 21-year-old. Because here's what you discover. This is an interesting testimony. Those who are blessed the most tip the least. Listen, those who are the poorest give the most. And she said, it's the most intriguing thing that you can pull up to a house that has $100,000 worth of cars in the driveway. And they can say, "I'm sorry, I don't have any cash." Listen carefully. Your testimony, once you've been entrusted, you listen carefully. The greatest testimony you could ever do is when some kid pulls up in a car that barely runs to deliver a pizza to your house with $3.50 a gallon gas, give them enough money to realize they're blessed every once in a while. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. My daughter showed me someone, what they do is, here's what happens to them. They'll deliver pizza. For example, they deliver 78, one of her friends delivered $78 worth of pizza yesterday. And it had $78.21. And the tip, $2. And you say, "Well, man, you got to be kidding." Listen carefully. I'm giving these illustrations to challenge you. You're entrusted with something that you need to be careful to be faithful in honoring. And by the way, it's not always just based on their service. It's based on your witness. So don't always gauge it. Listen. You may be having somebody wait on you whose husband just left them. You may have somebody waiting on you whose life is shattered. You may be waiting on somebody who just lost a loved one. And they're waiting on you. Bless them. Bless them and see what happens. That's what faithful people do. Faithful people do what unfaithful people never think about. Show me your vision, and I'll show you your future. Not only does he give them these talents, but you'll notice something else in verse 15. Notice what transpired. He says, each according to his own ability. This is not, you can't miss these words of Jesus, because here's what he says. We're all assessed according to our abilities. I don't know if you're like me, but when you read this passage, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I a five-talent woman? Am I a two-talent woman? What is it that God has given me? What kind of abilities? What kind of skills? Could I make a difference in the world if I just use my abilities? We're all assessed, and Jesus makes it clear. As the master, he makes the assessment. I want to ask you, how many skills do you have that you don't use? How many talents do you have that are a part of who you are, but you don't use them? For example, do you have the capacity to do a particular thing, but you're limited because you allow time constraints or other things to get in your way? What would you do if all of a sudden you look at your abilities and you said, God has given me these abilities and I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them to make a difference. What would happen in your life? Would your life not change immediately? I want to ask you, how many abilities you have are sitting on a shelf? You said, you know what? I'm not using that anymore. You used to teach the Bible, but you don't do it anymore. You have some reason. Even though you're still living and God has purpose, you have some reason and your abilities are there. He says, each one was assessed according to their abilities. I want to ask you, when you think about your own life, how many skills do you have that if you really looked at and you realized, I don't use this, I don't use that, I don't use this quality. Listen, some of you have the capacity to use your life in an amazing way. And what you have allowed to happen is you have allowed the adversary to steal your capacity. You say, how do you know that? Because you're not using it. And if you're not using it, it means the devil has won with who you are. Listen, dive into how life works. Don't miss the best of life. Assess. Listen, Jesus makes this assessment. And he looks at our abilities. I want to ask you, what abilities are you throwing away? What skills are you missing that would make an eternal difference in someone else's life? Because what you really look at when you see this is each of us are evaluated for our potential to impact the future. Each one of us. Every skill that we have, God makes this assessment of us to look into our lives. And I want to ask you a question. When you think about where you are you using everything God's given you? Or have you allowed something to subside? Maybe you've allowed the frustration of the immediate to steal the joy of the future by allowing some circumstance. Listen, if you're married to somebody who's not in tune with God, quit blaming it on them. Step up and be who God called you to be. If you're living a life where you're always restricted because you think of the environment you're in, listen, bust out of that environment and look at your abilities and say, you know what? God's entrusted this to me. He wants me to use it. He wants me to make a difference in my life. Well, then you see a third thing as this story unfolds, because the truth is that we can make a difference if we're willing to. Look at verse 16. Immediately, don't miss that word, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. What do we see here that's so essential for us about our lives? We are blessed to be a blessing. Listen, what God puts in our hands and what he puts in our hearts and what he puts in our minds are absolute blessings that we're supposed to extend to someone else, to impact someone else, to make a difference with someone. We're blessed to be a blessing. He says immediately they were given these talents. They were given this money. They were entrusted with this resource. Listen, you and I are blessed to be a blessing. I want you to ask yourself the question, who have you blessed? Who have you blessed in recent days? Who have you reached out to and made a difference in their life? Which way did you extend yourself? How did you allow your life to make an eternal difference in someone else? I mean, it says here, immediately he gave these talents. And what you discover is each one of us, watch this, are required to look at our talents. We're required to look at them as blessings, as opportunities to extend the gospel. These blessings, listen, God didn't give these things to us to hang on to them. He gave them to us to make a difference around the world. We're blessed to be a blessing. Each one of us are required to look at it. Because what does Jesus say here? In a moment, he comes back to find out what they're going to do, what they have done with their life. You ever thought about what the end of the journey really looks like? You ever thought about what happens when you get to the end of the journey and you stand before him and you give an accounting for how you've lived your life and what you've been responsible for and where you move forward at and where you've stepped back at? You see, the reality is that you and I need to look at our lives in a total different light than we sometimes do, because we oftentimes don't realize that if our time and our talent and our treasure and the truth entrusted to it are not used the right way, then we're going to have an accounting that is absolutely going to be challenging, to say the least. But what you see Jesus doing here is he shifts the story in his final point as we look at this, because here what he does beginning in verse 19, he says, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. When you read this, you immediately realize something, that we are accountable for our talents. We're accountable. I want to ask you, if someone assessed you of your accountability, would they find you in the Word? Would they find you seeking His face? Would they find you yielded to His purpose? Would they find you weeping for the souls of men and women, boys and girls? Would they find you grieved over the sin of the world? Would they find you burdened down and praying, seeking the face of the Lord? Reading a book this week that challenged my thought process, because it had to do with how we pray and how we interject ourselves into believing God for whatever it is He wants to do in our lives. And I want to challenge you to think about something. What would it be like if your accountability level went up? What would it be like if someone said to you, you need to step it up? If someone said to you, you are squandering your moment. If someone said to you, life is too short, don't miss this, what would you do? How would you live? Listen, we're launching into a brand new year. I want to encourage you to be accountable. Make a difference with your life. Make sure you look at how you're living and be accountable. When you look at this, each of us will be held accountable for what's been entrusted to us. Each of us will be held accountable. If you've got skills and talent, listen carefully. If you're floating your own boat and it's time for you to look at your life and say, you know what, I need to invest in the kingdom, take that step. Listen carefully. If you will just take the step of accountability, become a part of a church family, become a part of a family that will watch over you, will shepherd you, will guide you. I told you last Sunday about one of our sweet members who's soon to be with Jesus, battling a second time with leukemia, and me talking to her on the phone last week. I let her become an instant member of One Heart because she wanted that before her passing. Well, I talked to her on the phone on Friday. We were visiting. She got back home in the hospital, and her blood cancer down, and her days are numbered. And she said, I got home, and I mean, after we talked on the phone, I told my mom what you did, that you let me become a member. And she said, my mom said, you think he let me do that too? You think he let me take that step? And I'm going over to visit with them the first of this week and help them take that step, taking being accountable, being willing to step into the arena of being accountable to God for your life. Jesus died for the church. You got to be willing to be accountable to it. That's how it works. And so if you've been kind of floating along thinking, hey, I'm going to take that step, maybe today you ought to take that step and say, you know what, I'm willing to take the day and be accountable. Because what you discover here is each one of us have these talents. So I want to ask you a couple questions, make a few statements, and we'll wrap this all together because we come to this moment where we really think about our own life. The first thing I want to say to you, when you think about your own life, how do you respond to accountability? If someone cast a higher expectation of you, how would you respond? Because the truth of the matter is, listen carefully, One Heart goes no further than the person who is the weakest link in the chain of carrying the gospel around the world. So if we as God's people aren't accountable and held accountable, where will we go? How do you respond? When your boss asks you to take care of something, how do you respond? When you are responsible to take care of something at home, how do you respond? What steps do you take? Someone asks you to take care of cleaning your room up. Do you clean it up? Are you accountable? A second question I would challenge you to think about regarding where the future is, and that is, how do you find true fulfillment? Where do you find it? What steps do you take to find that fulfillment that fills you up? Listen carefully. It can't be in what you have. It can't be in where you live. It has to be in who has you and who controls your life. So think about your own life. Think about what you do with your life. These questions are powerful. And I want to make three statements to you that I hope will help you as you think about your journey. First of all, we need to use our lives to impact others. We need to use our lives to make a difference. You see, I enter into this year with great enthusiasm and great joy. This year, Lord willing, I have the privilege to go more places around the world than any time in my entire life. This year, I have the privilege of being able to share the gospel on several different continents and challenge people to live for Jesus. What about your life? What kind of impact will you make? This year, we as a church have the opportunity to make some very important decisions. This year, we'll be able to see this ministry expand. We'll see God do more things through us and for us and by us. What do you think about your life? What do you see? And then secondly, I want to encourage you to maintain a sense of calling. Remember, life is too short not to answer the call. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm getting phone calls incessantly from political action committees. Every committee on earth, I think, is calling my home. And I look at it and I think, no, no, no. But when I pick this up, I say yes, yes, yes. Because the truth of the matter is, my calling rests in one thing, and that is that His name is lifted higher and higher and higher so that people would know that Christ is the answer. And every time that phone rings, I turn my attention to what's most important. And that is not somebody telling me what they think about everything that ever happened in all the world, but thinking about what Jesus said. Because Jesus made it very clear. One final thing before we wrap this all together. And I want to have you look at one verse with me. Seize the moment that God has given you. Don't miss it. Seize that moment. Seize it. I want to ask you if you would to turn back to Psalm chapter 9. And as you turn there, I just want you to look at a verse with me, because it's in this verse, that I think about the essence of where we're going to go regarding our future. Look at this verse with me. Psalm 9. Look, if you would, at the 10th verse. And notice how the psalmist writes this as David speaks. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Is that not a great promise to start the new year? Listen to it again. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Last night I was getting ready for church and I was reading this passage in Matthew. And you know, the only frightening thing about this particular parable is the person who had one talent. Does that not stir you? Because what does Jesus say? Jesus says that their talent, their skills, they appear to have it all together, but they miss the message. And they end up being cast into outer darkness, missing out in all that God had planned for their life. And here's what he's saying. Somebody can be in church and not know Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there couldn't be anything more frightening. If you're sitting in church today, and maybe you're like me when I was at another stage of life, where I didn't know Jesus. I'm going to tell you, you ought to stop and say, do I know Jesus? So I want to start this year out by saying something very clear to you. I want to share the gospel to start this year as we wrap it all together. You see, for all of mankind, there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to look in their own life and see that sin separates us. It takes us away from God's best for our life. And when that sin separates us, the only way to answer that separation is to have a bridge. Jesus became that bridge. The cross, when Jesus died on the cross, he became the answer for all of mankind, because here's what he said, I'll bridge over your sin and I'll be your Savior. And you see, it's not enough just to go to church. It's not even enough just to be a member of a church. Without Jesus, you have nothing. If I were to ask Ron or somebody to come over and testify, they would tell you, those who work in this counseling room, there's only one essential question that we ask every person who becomes a part of the family. Do you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd spend eternity with Jesus? And see, the gospel is that gripping message that takes a person and allows their sin to be dealt with the right way, because sin does separate. But what does Jesus do? He brings us together to experience the best of life. And if you're here today, and here's what I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. Have I ever really given my heart to Jesus? Have I ever just said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you to come into my life. I need you to save me. You see, if you've never done that, this is the day you ought to do it, because it's the first day of a brand new year. So I want to ask if you would to bow your heads wherever you are, all across this room. I want you to bow your heads and I want you to ask yourself, if you were to die today, would you be in heaven? Or would you be where Jesus said, weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth? You see, it's only one choice that we make. And with your head bowed, you may be asking, how would I invite him into my life? You do it by praying a simple prayer that I've had the privilege to share all over the world. But there's no place that I have a greater privilege than doing it here at One Heart, my home. You pray this simple prayer, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to be my Lord and Savior forever. Jesus, I give my life to you.